faces this morning, some of you. It's good to be here. Good to see the number that we have with us. We've had several come in that since our services began, and it's good to see you this morning. This morning I want to take you to Mark, the fourth chapter. This is just one record of this particular incident in the life of Jesus and his apostles. It's familiar to you. And he says, then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which it is sown in the ground, is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest in its shade." And of many such parables, he spoke the word of the Lord to them that they were able to hear. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and there were waves that beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, you notice that in the midst of the storm, as the waves were beating against the little boat and the fishing boat, it's about, I don't know, 20 feet long or so, substantial boat, but just a wooden boat and open all the way through and taking on water. And these are men who are very familiar with the Sea of Galilee and with being in a boat that size and being in a storm of that nature. And when they said, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" they're not exaggerating. They are fully expecting this boat to sink. Of course, Jesus cared. But they realized the peril that they were in. Sometimes we find ourselves in peril. I think many people feel like we are in peril right now because of the COVID-19 virus and because of the riots and so forth that are taking place in other parts of the country and the dangers that these things are presenting to us. We find ourselves feeling like the tempest is raging, and we are unsure and we are uncertain what's going to happen. And we certainly understand our feelings, the uncertainty that we have. You know, the situation that we are in is not like the situation that the apostles found themselves in on the sea that night. They were certain they were going to sink. We live, as we said a couple weeks ago, in uncertain times. But we also pointed out that there are many things that we can be certain of in uncertain times. I think sometimes we feel this way spiritually. That as we deal with sin and our spiritual weaknesses, we wonder, am I going to make it? Am I going to be able to serve the Lord? And you know, we are not the first generation of people to feel that way. Every generation of people who revere God have felt that way. I take you back to Psalm 69 and the first six verses, where the psalmist says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where floods overflow me." Now, he's not speaking literally here, speaking figuratively. In other words, he's saying, I feel like I'm perishing. Well, what brought that on? He says, "I am weary with my crying, my throat is dry, my eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me. Bring my enemies, being my enemies wrongfully, though I have stolen nothing, I must restore it." Accusations have been made against him. "I have not stolen anything, but I have to give them what they've accused me of what I've stolen from them. I have enemies wrongfully." You're reminded of Paul when he says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Brethren, we're in a situation in our country today where you have people who hate God, hate the Bible, hate Christianity, and they are letting it be known that they hate it. In spite of the fact that God throughout His Word has said that He loves everyone, that He gave His only Son so that we might be saved, there are some people who don't want to be told that they're lost. They don't want to be told that their actions of life and the things they've embraced in this life are sinful and will lead to an eternity of torment. They don't want to be told that. I guess they want to pretend like God doesn't exist. They want to pretend like they won't have to answer for their lifestyle. And they think that by silencing the Bible and silencing those who profess faith in Christ, that somehow that's going to justify their lifestyle. That's why we have the things taking place that you see on your news, if you're watching all of the news that's available to you. But the psalmist here is saying, "I'm weary." I think we stand at the very beginning of what the psalmist here was expressing. And the reason I'm bringing it up this morning is because we need to start preparing ourselves for the attacks that we're going to receive personally because of our faith in Christ. In another place we find, as we continue to read here in Psalm 69 and verse 5, it says, "O God, You know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from You." The psalmist is saying, "I have enemies wrongfully. I've not went out to make enemies of no one, but people consider themselves to be my enemy, in spite of the fact that I've not mistreated them." But then he says, "I know that I'm not perfect." Here's another problem. Not only do I have the problem of those who consider themselves to be my enemies, but I have the problem spiritually of my sins. I know my sins are not hidden from You. "Let those who wait for You, O Lord, God of hosts, let not those who wait for You, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed because of me." Does that happen? Yeah. Are there people who say, "Well, I'm not going to be a Christian because that person professes to be a Christian, and yet look at the sin that's in their life"? That's what the psalmist is talking about here. Let not those who wait for you, those who might be seeking you, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. So, as we consider the uncertain times that we are in, we need to realize that these are not unique times. That as we consider the things that are uncertain, when is this virus going to be over? When is the unrest in our country going to be over? We also acknowledge the fact that we're uncertain sometimes about our own spiritual standing. That as we recognize our sin and we get impatient with ourselves sometimes, why haven't I put this behind me? Why haven't I grown spiritually? We need to realize that, yes, the teacher does care that we are perishing. Though it might seem like everything's crashing in on us, God sees it all. And we need to know that He sees it all and that He is in control of it all, and we can have peace in Him. In Romans chapter 7, you find Paul expressing this in verses 21 and following. He says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I want to do good, but I also, if I'm honest with myself, would have to say there's areas of evil in my life. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? The wages of sin is death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is there a deliverer? Master, do you not care that we are perishing? Yes. Can He save us? Yes. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. He's not saying, hey, I can have it both ways. With my mind, I'll serve God, but with my flesh, I'll serve the carnal nature. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I realize I need to make a decision. That in me, I have to make somebody the victor. It's either going to be the spirit led by the Spirit of God, or it's going to be the flesh led by the desires of the flesh. And so you find the answer then in chapter 8 as you continue to read. And of course, you realize that as Paul was writing this, he didn't have it divided into chapters and verses. He just continued to write, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, do not walk according to the law of the members, the carnal nature, but according to the Spirit. We all experience what Paul was experiencing here, don't we? That we have made the decision to follow Christ and to live for Him and to live to His glory, and yet we realize that there are some battles of the flesh that we don't seem to be winning. How can we win them? We need to go back to the fundamental of being led by the Spirit of God. That when tempted to sin, we just need to simply ask ourselves the question, what does Christ want me to do? And answer that question with, not my will, but His be done. That we overcome the desires of the flesh by doing the will of Christ always, in every situation. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 through 10, I find comfort here. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He is almighty. There is nothing impossible with God. Humble yourselves. Follow the leading of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In uncertain times, when you don't know how things are going to turn out, realize that as you humble yourselves before God to do His will always in all things, you will get through this. You will come to the other side. How do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Be sober, be vigilant, know the Word of God, practice the Word of God, be sober, be vigilant, stand fast against the strategies of Satan that is there to destroy your confidence that you have in Christ, your certainty of salvation, your certainty of being in fellowship with God. Stand fast and practice the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What's Peter saying? He's saying, you know, what you're going through, you're not the only person going through that. Do you feel like you are? Do you feel like you're alone and isolated and that you're not getting through it? That you're the only one who feels that way? No. Several others feel the same way. Several others are experiencing the same thing. Not only here, but throughout the world, not only in this generation, but in generations past. There's nothing new here. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Be sober, be vigilant, stand fast in the faith. And you'll come through the storm that you face in life. Storms of persecution, storms of doubt, stand fast in the faith. And He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, give you peace. That's what happened that night on the Sea of Galilee. He said, He arose and He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Do you not care that we are perishing? Yes, of course I care. But you need to realize that you're not going to perish as long as I am with you, as long as we are in fellowship with each other, as long as you love me and keep my commandments. My Father and I and the Spirit will abide in you. Yes, I care. But you will go through the storms of life. But as you do, know that I am with you and that I am greater than these storms. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 through 21 reads, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What power is that? The power of faith. Power of trusting him and obeying him. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Where did the church come from? Came from that little mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like this little mustard seed. Now when it's planted, it grows into a great tree, he says, in whose branches the animals take shelter and find refuge. Sometimes I think we get to thinking that we're so small, we seem to be insignificant against the strategies of Satan. And though we might be small in number, we are great in might, the almighty power of God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we think. So we need to be thinking like God thinks. We need to be thinking and planning as God plans. And we need to be carrying out his plan. And living the faith that we find in his word. And telling others about him. We sometimes sing a song that is somewhat based, in fact, I think, believe it is based on this particular incident in the life of Jesus and his apostles. Verse 3 says, Master, the terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. Earth's sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer. Leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the peaceful shore. With joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the peaceful shore. In spite of how great the storm may be raging, in spite of what looks like we're going to perish, we will not perish, as long as the Lord is in the vessel. And we are that vessel. Allow him to be in your vessel. Allow him that in the midst of the storms and the trials and the uncertain times, that you are certain that God is with you, that you are saved, that you are on your way to heaven. In spite of the sorrows that we might experience, the realization of the fragility of life, the confidence that we have in him. It matters not what might happen to us physically or emotionally or even spiritually. Christ is in the vessel. He's not asleep on a pillow. He sees our situation. He is at peace, and we need to be at peace. For we know that he has all things in his power. So let our troubled hearts be at peace. Let our confidence be in him. Let our resolve to honor him and glorify him be unswaying. Let us always lift up the banner of Christ. Let him be seen living in our life. And let His word be heard from our lips and seen in the practice of our life. John 14, in the first four verses, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." What is that way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Are you intimate with him through his word? Does he abide in the vessel of your life? And do you know the peace that surpasses our understanding? Do you rejoice in that? Do you face the trials of life daily, knowing that Christ is in your vessel? And no matter what storm of what nature might come into your life, you will come to that peaceful shore of heaven. And there can be peace in your life and confidence, knowing you're not going to sink. You're going to be fine. You're with the Lord, and he is with you. Here today, and you recognize that you are out of Christ, you're troubled because of your sin. You should be. But Jesus says, "Come to me. I will give you rest." God wants to forgive us of our sins. He makes our sin known to us so that we can be forgiven of our sin in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we'll just turn to him, confess him, obey him in baptism for the remission of our sins, and walk with him in newness of life, abide in his word from this day forward. If you come to that decision in your life, we'd encourage you to let it be known and let us assist you in your new birth into Christ and his family. If you're here today as a child of God and you realize you're out of favor with God, you're troubled about that, you should be. But as James recorded, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?